All right, chapter 16. We're all in fellowship, right? I am. Oh, by the way, you know that you say, well, I can't remember if I did this. A generic rebound works. Generic means you're not naming a specific sin. You're just going with that's in the model prayer, forgive us our sins. Boom, you're in fellowship. Rolling down the road or wherever you're going. All right? This is the grace of God. This is the way the plan's set up. And I'm just reporting it to let you know. It's not about, well, I just don't feel worthy. Forget that. That's not an issue. God's taken the worst sinners that ever walked on the face of the earth and brought them to salvation. Paul said he was the worst because of what he was doing before he was saved. Okay? One other thing before we launch into chapter 16, I was sent a thing. It was off of TikTok, and it was about the Earth. And the thing that was featured in it was that the fellow was reading from Volume 2 of arguably the most prestigious encyclopedia in the English language, Encyclopedia Britannica, Volume 2, published in 1958. And in it, it talks about the Earth with its dome over it and other specifics and details. I'd sure like to get a copy of that page just for the heck of it. So if anybody can come across it on a PDF file, I'd really like to walk into an old bookstore and see the whole setup there and buy it, but I won't do that. But it's right there. Why would they be saying that the Earth is domed and flat in 1958? Well, it was in 1958 that the nations got together and prohibited anybody from entering Antarctica to do exploration. I don't know how much money you got. You can't go in there. Before that, in times past, people had tried and made attempts to go back into Antarctica. So what is there between the ice wall that goes around the Earth and all the way to the edge of the domed firmament? What all is in there? How far is it? One person who wouldn't confess to that said Admiral Byrd. Yeah, he was down there. He's, I saw him on old black and white TV thing. He said this continent has more resources, natural resources, than anywhere else. You go, what? You'll also find that nobody has any record of flying over Antarctica in a plane if it was on the bottom of the Earth. Fly over the North all the time, but nobody's flown over it because they can't. The more I think of it, the more I just shake my head. This is unbelievable. If the Earth was a ball, the people down in Australia would be upside down from the people up in, say, Alaska. And so in a ball, everybody's stuck on it at a different angle. So they're up as are down. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. The whole thing was sold to the human race, and the big pushers of all this was NASA, the National Space Association. Yeah. And we were all taught it in school as a part of a earth science, and nobody questioned any of it. Nobody. See, we ought to have a course in logic. You can't get through life if you don't use common sense and logic. You'll kill yourself. You use common sense and logic. This works. This doesn't. so that we can reason, and an elementary course in logic, so you can ask the right questions and expect the right answers. Because you're seeking, you're just wanting to know the truth, rather than just embrace things, sight out, just, yeah. That's why it's so easy to fool people. And that's why in the devil's world, people are all under these things. I've been under it too. I didn't walk out here and figure all this out. But through prayer and persistence, I got over this hump. Because it was just a general prayer. Well, it was a specific prayer. And I've told you before, and God is my witness, I didn't make this up. I asked him. I said, back in around 2016, I guess. In that time frame. I prayed it over and over. If there's anything I'm missing in the Word of God, anything big, I'll get other details. We'll figure those out as we go along. I get that part. But if there's anything big, I guess I was stirred up by the Holy Spirit that indwells me to offer that particular petition up before the throne of God. And I wasn't going out looking for anything. Where do I look? You know? You bring it to me. You deliver it to me. You get it to me, however, whatever means, and whoever and whatever that I stumble across, and lo and behold, I got my prayer answered. And we have suffered a lot for it. We have suffered. But it's in the right way. I believe we tried to be exceedingly patient with people. Take your sweet time. It's easier for some of us to cough up than others, for whatever reasons. But it doesn't fit the Bible. And I know why they got this fake science out there, running alongside good science, is to make the Bible look stupid. Turn people away from the Bible. The Bible doesn't teach that. And then you find out that it's true. You go, oh yeah. So it's the devil's world, and the forces of darkness, they're trying to make the Bible look unscientific. And everything that is a theory of, always remember this, isn't proven. You might be watching a crime show. Well, I have a theory about what happened. It's a theory. Let's just look at it and see if it stands up to the facts on the ground. So any theory of means they haven't proven it. Some may say they have, but they haven't. Theory of relativity, Einstein's deal, theory of evolution, Big Bang theory. Everything came into existence just like it is today as a result of an explosion that's ongoing. Huh. Well, the pagans, they didn't have anything over us. They at least said there's a god of the ocean that did something. I mean, it's pathetic. An explosion doesn't... chaos doesn't create order. Chaos does not. You don't blow up a paper factory and get the Encyclopedia Britannica. Somebody said that. It's not original with me. But anyway, yeah. Look how detailed the tiniest organisms are, and how they're all interconnected. And this happened gradually over time? No. As pointed out over and over again, these things have to come full blown, or they die. They don't exist. Whether it's the human eye, you can't take a part out of it and see. No way. It's just too advanced and sophisticated. And God in His power and His genius made all these things. And they're denying the Creator. That's what it's all about. It isn't about a quest for truth. Anyway, Romans chapter 16. Greetings and closing doxology. summons to welcome Phoebe. I'm going to introduce you to some people. Now I want you to know that mostly if you were reading Romans and reading through your Bible and you came to this chapter, you'd yawn. These are names in passing. But these are real believers that existed and served God at a high level that Paul here makes honorable mention of. Would your name be on it if you lived in Rome? Well, he doesn't mean that everybody that had their act together has to be mentioned here. It probably would be page after page after page. But these are some people that Paul knew directly or indirectly that had made a mark with regard to the Christian life. And the first one we are introduced to, we get two full verses with regard to this woman, Phoebe. I commend to you our sister Phoebe. I commend, soon esteme, to you, our sister, that's, we have Adelphos for brother, and Adelphe for the female, sister, who is a servant of the church which is in Cenchrea, who is a servant, diakonos of the church, ecclesia, local church, which is in, and Cenchrea is to be explained. She's heading to Rome. Phoebe's taking a trip. She's going from wherever this Cenchrea is, and she's taking a trip to Rome. That you receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints. She's going to be on your doorstep. That you receive, that's our word prodecomai, which means to receive or welcome her in a manner. The word worthy is axios. I pulled out a bottle of wine the other day. And it was a Cabernet. Across it said, axios. I go, whoa, worthy. That's what they named it. And it was the Greek letters on the bottle. In a manner worthy of the saints, of the royal family, we also say. And that you help her in whatever matter she may have need of you. Now, in all these, there's going to be a little bit of mystery, exactly what it is. What's she traveling for? What did she do in this church in Cenchrea? What was her service in this church? A woman. We'll feature ladies of the royal family from the Roman times that made their mark. So we're not some deal that pushes women over in a corner. We do not. We honor positive volition in the ladies. And here is this one, Phoebe. That you receive her in the Lord, and in the Lord means she's in Christ, you're in Christ. That's the best place to be. That's the safest place to be. Outside it, no matter how secure a person is and how well off they are, they're not secure if they're not in the Lord. And when we got saved, we were entered into union with Jesus Christ. There's a link, there's a connection that cannot be broken by anything you do or anyone else does. What can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus? And Paul gives a whole list of things. Things past, things present, things to come. Death, whatever. You're just as saved and just as secure as you ever were. And that you help her. Par esteme, that means to stand alongside, literally in the Greek, aorist active and subject, that you help her in whatever matter in relative pronoun, and then we have a little particle, an, it denotes contingency, and that you help her in whatever manner she may have need of you. Present subjunctive, credo, to need, and the word matter is pragma. We get pragmatic. That you help her in whatever matter she may have need of you. Then he says he commends her. For she herself, for she, pronoun, has also been a helper, prostatus. Prostatus is the word help, the helper of many. That's many believers. And of myself as well. Okay. That's quite a commendation for one woman. So we have to do a little bit of imagination, try to keep it sensible. It is quite probable that Phoebe was an individual who delivered the Roman epistle to the church at Rome. How about those apples? She's a carrier of this letter. She's coming to Rome. She says she's going to arrive there. He's writing the letter. Wouldn't she be the logical courier of this letter? So she gets, you know, to put pack away in her things, this wonderful letter and carries it to Rome. A book in the New Testament, a notable book. Oh, by the way, you're going to Rome. It could have been along the lines, I need you to go to Rome. Is there anything it'd be like her saying, I'm an independent female. I have my own independent wealth. Is there anything you need? Yeah, I want you to go to Rome. I want you to take this letter. Maybe it went down that way. I don't know. Here we have Paul's personal commendation of Phoebe to those who had never heard of her. Never saw her, never heard of her. 3. Paul, in general terms, informs the saints that she was a believer who had distinguished herself in the local church at Cenchrea. Now, this is all within the context of where Paul is at when he wrote Romans. He was in southern Greece. He was in Corinth. The city, the ancient city, Cenchrea was the port city adjacent to Corinth. It was a community that was right on the ocean and was a port town. Paul wrote to the church at Rome from the city of Corinth. 6. She excelled in assisting believers who were sick or disadvantaged, whatever it is. 7. Some interpreters say she was a deaconess. Well, there's a problem with that because of the word that is used for deacons, servant of the Lord. I don't go there, and there is not sufficient warrant for this, as the term servant is used in any believer who serves in whatever capacity. I did this one, didn't prove it. Her ministry was on behalf of those who were sick, impoverished, etc., possibly. 10. Women tended to excel in these types of situations. 11. The Romans were enjoined to welcome her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the royal family. Verse 2. You treat her as someone who is here that is very special to me and to other believers, and you receive her. And of course, she had this wonderful thing to deliver, apparently, the book of Romans, entrusted to this woman to travel from southern Greece to Rome, Italy. Over the sea and over the land, right up the Appian Road, right into Rome. Without going into details, Paul says she distinguished herself as a helper of many, including special efforts on behalf of the Apostle Paul. We don't know the details. We just know that she was an assistant, assisted other believers. So this is where I draw out of this. She, and there were these women, of course, as there are today. She most probably was a woman of considerable means, financial means. She was very well off because she had the ability to do this and the independence to do this and to come to the aid of people one-on-one. And that takes, you know, you're not tied down to a job and a marriage and other stuff that would have prohibited her. So we will take her as a single woman who was a woman of means, however, and that she used her money and her freedom not just to travel and have fun, but to help other believers. That alone would make her a rare commodity. You don't find those kind. Positive, well off, and willing to come to the aid of positive believers and do this back in the ancient, in those times. So, you know, like the Hollywood sidewalk with stars on it, she's a star. She is a spiritual star. That's what you and I should aspire to. Because this other stuff is all passing away. Note that she was used of God to help many. She got her start in a congregation in this port city. She stepped in there. She was a believer. She was a product of evangelization, and she immediately saw what her spiritual gift was, saw the resources she had, got informed spiritually, and came to the aid of needy believers. That is Phoebe. She's a star. It's the only place she's mentioned. She doesn't have to be mentioned anywhere else. She got her name in lights forever. This great believer is here immortalized in the Word of God. She wasn't trying to get her name in the Word of God. Of course, she'd read the book of Romans. She saw that there in the conclusion, Paul said to receive her in a manner worthy of the saints. Receive her in the Lord in a worthy manner of the saints. So the Romans had to gear up. What are we going to do? We're going to have a nice place for her to stay. We're going to get everything ready for her. So when she gets here, and then we're going to have fellowship. This is the same for another lady in the New Testament, Lydia, in Acts 17. Jack. 1615, I said the wrong one. Thank you. And when she and her household had been baptized, she urged us, saying, if you judge me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and stay. And she prevailed upon us. This is verse 14. A woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics. That's her business. Purple was a real coveted color, and these fabrics. And she had a business where she sold these. A worshiper of God, Now, this means before salvation, see, there were those who, before they became saved, were God-fearers. They weren't saved, but they were God-fearers. They were seeking for something beyond the pagan mess. And she got hooked up with the truth and got saved and got on with things. A worshiper of God was listening, and the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. There's a whole context here. I want to state it, and I'll let you go. They came to a leading city of the district of Macedonia, verse 12, Philippi, named after Philip, the father of Alexander the Great. A Roman colony, and we were staying in this city some days, and on the Sabbath day we went outside the gate to a riverside. This is the small beginnings of this, Philippian church, where we were supposing that there would be a place of prayer. Jews would gather out there and pray. And we sat down and began speaking to the women who had assembled. And this Lydia from Thyatira, she was on a business trip, and she was there. Okay, I wanted to plug that one in. People come to the truth through different means and methods and hook up with it. And if you're one of them, stick with it. You will be happy that you did. I'll see you next time. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.